We'll begin in Romans chapter 1 and look at some other passages in just a few minutes. I hope you picked up a copy of the Baptist Vision off the table this morning. And as I mentioned this morning, I will preach on that subject that's on the front page. I believe Brother Sexton's sermon is What God's Word Says About Gay Rights. And I'd already begun to prepare to preach on that subject. Because it's in the Bible, and we need to study the Bible, and we need to base our opinions and our judgments about things on the Bible. And because of the way this subject has been in the news lately, in the last several years, you remember hearing things in the news about the Boy Scouts in the last couple of years, and their not allowing homosexual scoutmasters, scout leaders, and so forth. And then the more recent things in the news about the church, the denomination, the Christian denomination here in the United States, electing and ordaining an openly homosexual bishop. And so with those things in mind and those things before us, I want to address this matter of God's view of homosexuality, because that's what we must make our view. It has to be based on God's Word. And I want to say in the beginning that the song that we just sang, the hymn that we just enjoyed, is pertinent to this. Christ receiveth sinful men, even me with all my sin, the verse says, the last verse that we sang. Christ receiveth any and all sinful men who have come to Him in faith, in repentance, in receiving Him. And that's true of homosexuals also. But we're living in a time when our tolerance is not enough. We have always tolerated people. We've always been tolerant of people with different beliefs than ours. I've said before, and I'll say again, and will say many, many times in the future, that you would not enjoy the religious liberty that you do if it were not for Baptists. If it were not for the influence of Baptists in early American history, we would not enjoy the religious freedom that we do. There would be no such thing as separation of church and state had it not been for the influence of Baptists in the early colonies and in the early days of this country. There would be an established state church. There would be an established Episcopalian church and two or three others, and you would not be allowed to belong to any other church. It would be illegal. There were rules made about that, pertaining to that, in the early colonies and so forth. But we're tolerant. Baptists are tolerant. But there's this new tolerance where you not only have to recognize that it's there, you don't just recognize homosexuality is there just as a matter of being facing the reality that it's real and people are engaged in that. Now they want us to say that it's all right and that homosexual marriage is equal to heterosexual marriage, that it's just as proper and fitting and natural for two men to marry or two women to marry and to adopt children as it is for man and woman to marry. You see, they don't just want us to tolerate it. They want to say our way is just as good and just as right, and now these denominations, these religious leaders saying that even God says it's just the same. Here's the problem it's getting to the young people. There's a book that has recently come out. We'll read that passage in Romans in a minute. Don't lose it. There's a book titled The Homosexual Agenda, Exposing the Principal Threat to Religious Freedom. The writer warns in this book, you could give the homosexual activists whatever they want today, marriage, all the benefits that go with it, everything. But they will not be satisfied until the church is absolutely silenced on this issue. The bottom line is that as long as the church says that homosexual behavior is sinful, they feel stigmatized. You see, they want to get to the place where it would be illegal for me to stand here and say God condemns sodomy. There's a move, and it may already be in place, ordinances pertain to this in Canada. They're trying to make it hate speech, and there are people who want to do that in our country, that it would be It would be against the law. It would be considered hate speech for me to stand in this pulpit and quote the Word of God that we will read in just a few minutes pertaining to homosexuality or sodomy. Now, sodomy is a proper word to use. I don't think I have ever used the word queer from the pulpit in referring to people in that kind of lifestyle. They've taken some words in our English language and turned them around and misused what ought to be good words. I remember having the word queer on a spelling test in the sixth grade. That was about 1972, 71, somewhere along in there, and it was not associated with that lifestyle as much then. It was just kind of being used that way. It was still in the textbooks used in a spelling test. And the word gay. But the word sodomy and sodomite are proper words to use for, they're Bible words to use for homosexuals and the sin of homosexuality. I said the sin of homosexuality. You look up the word sodomite in the dictionary. It's one who practices sodomy. Sodomy is sex with a member of the same sex. So those are right words to use. Now, I said that there's a problem in that they're getting to the young people. They have to. How else could that lifestyle be continued? The 500, I'm reading, by the way, I want to read you two or three things from the Fundamental Baptist News Service, David Cloud's email service and so forth. I get the Friday Church News every Friday by email, and these are some things that have come out in the last several weeks. The 500 school students at the Presbyterian Youth Connection in Louisville, that's the Presbyterian Church USA, voted to, quote, affirm the call of homosexuals, bisexuals, and transgendered persons to all areas of ministry. That was in the August 13th issue of Religion Today. Now, these are the high school students saying they affirm the call of homosexuals, bisexuals, and transgendered persons to all areas of ministry. On August 5th, this is what's probably most in our mind because it happened more recently. On August 5th, the Episcopal Church's National Convention in Minneapolis confirmed the appointment of the denomination's first openly homosexual bishop. I might have said priest this morning. I don't remember, but it's a bishop. This is the first time that an admitted homosexual has been appointed as bishop anywhere in the worldwide Anglican Communion. The confirmation finalizes V. Gene Robinson's June election by the Diocese of New Hampshire. I don't know if you heard this in the news. I read it here, and I don't recall hearing it on the radio or anything. The newly elected bishop broke his solemn marriage vows 13 years ago when he left his wife and two young daughters and moved in with his male partner, who consorted with him at the Minneapolis convention, by the way. Exposing the moral perversion of his twisted apostate mind, Robinson said, quote, "In my relationship with my partner, I'm able to express the deep love that's in my heart, and in his unfailing and unquestioning love of me, I experience just a little bit of the kind of never-ending, never-failing love that God has for me." End of quote. I wonder if he expressed those same terms to his wife when he married her. I'm sure that he did, that it was part of his holy marriage vows that he took with her. But he left his wife and daughters for a man. And he stands in a pulpit and opens the Word of God and ministers to people the Word of God. In the year 2000, he was speaking at a homosexual march in Washington, D.C., and he said, "We are worthy to hold our heads high as gay folk, because God has proclaimed it so, that we are loved beyond our wildest imagination by a God who made us the way we are and proclaimed it good." There's the end of the quote. Now, I said he opens the Word of God and ministers. Obviously, he does not read the Word of God, because God has not proclaimed it so, and I'll look at a minute at the lie, the fallacy that God made them so, and God never, ever proclaimed it good. The latest action by the Episcopal Church is not a surprise, and then there are several things that he lists going back for years in that church. They're overlooking things that should have been dealt with, heresies and so forth, not just pertaining to homosexuality, but other things. In 1993, a survey of nearly 20,000 Episcopalians showed that 70% believe faithful Christians can be sexually active gays and lesbians. That's from 1993 in that denomination. A Canadian poll found that 57% of Catholics approved of homosexual marriage. Listen, we better beware of the homosexual agenda. It's not enough that we understand what we believe and that we know what the Word of God teaches and we base our beliefs on that. We need to beware and warn our children, warn our families of the agenda of the homosexuals. They're not satisfied with tolerance anymore. They want equal footing. They want homosexual marriage. They want it to be recognized as the same as marriage between man and woman. And thank God for the president who's willing to say he does not believe in that. Now, in the article, you'll see several lies of homosexuality. And I want to mention some lies of homosexuality also. The lies of the homosexual agenda. But first, let's read our text in Romans chapter 1. I was reading an article by, obviously, an unbeliever, who said the only passage in the New Testament dealing with same-gender relationship, blah, blah, blah. And he went into the Greek and the this and that and tried to say that Romans chapter 1 excused or at least did not speak out against homosexuality, that it's always been there, this, that, and the other. But let's read the passage and see what it says. Begin with verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's a key phrase in this passage. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile affections. I've said before that I don't doubt there are men who have affections toward other men. There are women who have affections toward women. But they are vile affections. No one denies the affections. No one denies the attractions. But we deny that they are right and that God recognizes them, that God made them, that God approves of them, and that God blesses them. That is what we deny because God says they are vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It was fitting and right that man was referred to as reprobate in the article that I read. He's been given over to a reprobate mind. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boastful, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There's no mistaking that. You can't twist and turn the Greek, the Hebrew, the Spanish, the English, the Latin, or anything else to find anything but condemnation for homosexuality in that passage. But there are lies put out by the homosexual agenda. One lie is that it's unloving to attempt to help a homosexual out of their lifestyle. On the Unitarian Universalist website, that's supposed to be some kind of church, but on their website, they blasted the Boy Scouts for their stand against homosexuality. One person from the group said, maybe it's time to add tolerance to the list of things in the Boy Scout oath. There's that word, tolerance. Tolerance. The APA, the American Psychological Association, a few years ago said that it was harmful and against ethical standards to counsel a homosexual with the intent of changing behavior. Last year, legislation with this group was introduced to threaten the revoking of license of any psychologist or psychiatrist who continued to do so. In other words, these psychiatrists and psychologists who told a homosexual, yes, you're correct to have these wrong feelings, this is not normal, it is deviant behavior, and here are some steps you can take to be free from it, they say that's unethical to try and lead them out of that homosexual lifestyle. They say it's not loving, we ought to be tolerant and understanding and not tell them that it's wrong, because they can't help it. That's the next lie. That homosexuals are born that way and have no choice in the matter. Have you ever heard any of the advocates on television or heard them on the radio say, why would anyone choose this lifestyle? All the ridicule we put up with, and there was something so filled with self-righteous judgments of others, we're just so judged, we're just so ridiculed, and we're so downtrodden, why would we choose this? That's such a ridiculous argument. Why does a drunkard choose to be a drunkard? Why does someone choose to wreck their lives with drugs? There are all manner of sin that wreck a person's life. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Scripture says. They choose it for the same reason anyone else chooses it. Sin is to blame. There was a scientist named Dean Hamer, a geneticist from the University of Hawaii. He claimed to have found the homosexual gene. He said that this gene predisposed people to homosexuality. Listen, I don't know anything about the Human Genome Project, and I don't know anything about DNA, but I can identify the strand of chromosomes that causes homosexuality. It's present in the XY, the XYZ, the YY, the XX. Every chromosome has it. It's the FIN chromosome. Sin causes homosexuality. Sin! By the way, this study, he said he found this gene. But what he failed to tell is that he is a homosexual advocate. He's a homosexual activist himself. And his study was not scientifically handled, and it was later sent to an independent group for scientific study. And after spending a year trying to confirm his study, they determined that the gene did not exist. But now, they're still diligently searching for that gene. That makes it, you know, where it's not their fault. Just like they're trying to make alcoholism a sickness. There's something in their genes. There's something in their brain out of what? Sin is in everyone's brain, in everyone's mind, in everyone's blood. Now, pertaining to this gene, it doesn't matter that it's been disproven. It doesn't matter they looked and looked and can't find it. It's been told enough times that it exists, that enough people believe it, it's made it easier on the homosexuals. You see, the lie has been said enough times, enough people believe that they really can't help it. Homosexuals are not born that way. And even if they are, in a way they are, like we're all born sinners. I'm born a sinner. You are born a sinner. Everyone's born with a sin nature. And God requires them to choose the cure for their sin, just like he requires everyone to choose the cure for their sin. And that cure is faith in Jesus Christ. Don't listen to that lie that says they were practicing homosexuals in Scripture. Someone asked a question on one of the email lists that I watch. Somebody asked a question this past week, looking for comments on where the scripture says that the love between David and Jonathan surpassed the love of women. These men were friends and they loved one another, these two men, but they were not, there's no indication in scripture that they were sodomites. That's a lie of the devil. If anybody comes to you with that argument, just dismiss that and go on about your way. And if anybody comes to you with the argument that Jesus was homosexual, had an affair with one of the Marys or him and the disciples, just go on about your business and leave them alone. You might punch them in the nose before you do that, but it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Open your Bible to Leviticus chapter 20. Let's read more of what God says. Enough about what the Episcopalians say, and what the activists say, and what the lying scientists say. We're most concerned with what God says. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. An abomination. An abomination. What did the gay priest say? The gay, now he's a bishop. What did he say? God's declared it so and said that it's good. God said it's an abomination. An abomination is a disgusting thing, according to the dictionary. It's something that God hates. It's an abomination for a man to lie with another man. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. To Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Read verse 17. Deuteronomy 23, 17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. There's that abomination again. Homosexuality, sodomy, is an abomination to the Lord. It's a disgusting thing to the Lord. It's a thing that God hates. And I said to you a few weeks ago, turn one page over to Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, God is so adamant about this business of the separation of the sexes. There's a difference in the sexes. He created male and female created he them. And he is so adamant about the separation of the sexes. He says in Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. A woman shall not even wear it pertains even to our clothes. God says that a woman wearing a man's clothes or a man putting on a woman's garment, for all that do so, are abomination unto the Lord thy God. And these priests and these denominations say that God's all right. God blesses. They don't read the Bible. They don't read the Bible. Not only is God against sodomy, he's even against cross-dressing. Why? Well, how can there possibly... I understand the world wants an excuse. I understand that. But how can people who claim to believe the Bible say that God does not condemn sodomy? How can anyone read the Bible? Yes, Jesus loves sinners and he died for sinners and he calls them to repentance just like he called me to repentance. Let's think for a minute about our view and our treatment of homosexuals. Now you know that I was joking when I said punch somebody in the nose if they say that Jesus was had relations with any of the disciples. Anybody that would say something like that doesn't deserve any of your attention at all. Make your way over to Hebrews chapter 12 and let's read something here. But what is our view and how do we treat homosexuals? Like all sinners, they need to be saved. Like any and all sinners, you and me included, Jesus died for that sin. And he can cleanse them from that sin. He can cleanse them from that unrighteousness. If they confess it as sin, he is faithful to forgive that sin and cleanse from all unrighteousness. Yes, even that sin. we need to be true to the Word of God as our standard. I want to skip that reference I gave you. I think I wrote down the wrong one. God does not call us to go along to get along. Tolerance, we need to understand what tolerance is. We are tolerant. We are to be loving towards sinners. We are to be faithful to preach the gospel. But Jesus never condoned sinful behavior. He didn't partake in sinful behavior. And he never condoned sinful behavior. By the way, the argument that there were homosexuals in the Bible, yes, there were. They're mentioned several times in the Bible and never in a positive way. Let's remember that when thinking about that argument that there were homosexuals in the Bible. Yes, there were. We're to treat other sinners as we would expect to be treated. We should reach out to people who are in sin. Reach out to people who are enslaved in sin. Be honest with them about their sin, and sometimes that's hard. Some would say, the Old Testament, they killed them. We ought to do that. No, we don't take matters into our hands that way. God prescribed that for the Old Testament. But make no mistake, God is not mocked. He will judge those that refuse to obey Him. Sodomy, homosexuality, is sin. Beware the homosexual agenda. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you receive sinners. Thank you that you save sinful men, even me with all my sin. And you'll save and deliver from any sin that enslaves us. Even the enslaving sin of homosexuality. Other sexual sins that enslave people. Adultery enslaves some people. Pornography enslaves some people. Rebellion enslaves some people. Sin is like that. It enslaves. We thank you that you're the Redeemer and you set us free. You deliver us from sin. Thank you that even now we can enjoy deliverance from the power of sin. We still suffer through the presence of sin in our lives and in our world, and we look forward to that glorious day. We receive our glorified bodies and we're delivered finally and forever from the very presence of sin. In the meantime, help us to be true to the Scripture. Not be swayed by even those who are religious leaders in the world, who try and tell us things contrary to your word. Lord, protect our young people from the homosexual agenda. Help us to be faithful to declare sin, sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.